Good morning. Glad to worship with you on this July 4th weekend. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's an old expression that goes like this. It's one that I know you know. The Lord helps those who help themselves. The Lord helps those who help themselves. I remember hearing that from multiple different people when I was growing up. And it sounds good. And it makes sense. With all due respect to Benjamin Franklin and others over the years who have advocated this idea of the Lord helps those who help themselves, when it comes to the gospel, the biblical gospel, the actual gospel, it's totally wrong. The gospel is the Lord helps those who cannot help themselves. The Lord helps those who cannot help themselves. Now, some of you might have an immediate negative, knee-jerk reaction to that. But it's still true. When it comes to our salvation, our relationship with the living God, we are utterly, totally, completely dependent on the grace of God given us in Jesus Christ. The self-made need not apply. We see this clearly in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one can boast. In other words, no matter how educated or accomplished or wealthy or beautiful or savvy you are, we're all on the same playing field when it comes to being totally dependent on God's grace for our salvation. In the late 4th and early 5th century, there was a Christian theologian named Pelagius. Pelagius was brilliant. He was fluent in Greek and fluent in Latin, a very convincing, persuasive speaker, a top-drawer scholar. But Pelagius taught that we actually save ourselves through free will, through making the right decisions, that when we learn what God's laws are, all we have to do is make the right choices and choose to do the right thing, choose to obey God's law, and by doing so, become better and better and better and better, and then save ourselves. In other words, it's up to our own free will to save ourselves by just doing the right thing, making the right choice. And it's along the lines of what Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great 19th century thinker and writer, what he said, and you've probably heard this before, sow a thought and reap an action. Sow an act or an action and reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. And this is right along with the lines of Pelagianism. And it all sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, it all makes sense. And we can all point to times in our lives where this is what we did, this is the choice we made, and this was the result, whether it was good or not good. But when it comes to salvation, Pelagianism is a heresy. But there's a more subtle, and in my opinion, more insidious heresy than Pelagianism, and it's semi-Pelagianism. Semi-Pelagianism is an attempt to sort of reach a middle ground or a compromise between Pelagianism, that we save ourselves through our own free will, and the actual gospel of God's grace, that we are utterly dependent on the grace of God for our salvation. And semi-Pelagianism is an attempt to sort of reach a compromise and find the middle or the balance of those two poles. And the Lord helps those who help themselves. The Lord helps those who help themselves. That's a perfect expression of semi-Pelagianism. Semi-Pelagianism is sort of a team approach to our salvation, that you and God work together for your salvation. Semi-Pelagianism, again, is the idea that we work together with the Lord to help ourselves. And it appeals to our pride, and it appeals to our self-determinism. It certainly appeals to our ego and our desire to call the shots, our desire to be in control. But semi-Pelagianism, just like Pelagianism straight up, is heretical. It's unbiblical. It's deadly. It will lead you ultimately to a sense of despair, because over time you will learn that it doesn't work. Or it'll lead you to a place of pride where you actually think you're doing it, and you're blinded by your pride and your hypocrisy. And both those roads go to a place that none of us want to go. So my Pelagianism is unbiblical and deadly. And this is because when it comes to our own free will, it falls short. We still keep doing the wrong thing. You can know all the right things to do and still make the wrong decision. That's why the idea that all people need is more education. If they simply know all the right things, they'll make all the right decisions. Well, sometimes you will and sometimes you won't. For some people, most of the time you won't. And we need more than just knowing what God's law is. There are still times that we can know what the right thing is and do the exact opposite. And we can know that if we just keep God's laws, it'll make things so much better for other people and so much better for ourselves. And yet we still do the exact opposite. And we experience that we can sow a mean thought that results in an evil action, that results in a bad habit, that results in a flawed character that leads to a tragic destiny. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is addressing in today's passage from his letter to the Romans, a particularly vulnerable passage, a very honest passage. Paul says this, "I don't understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me? Who will rescue me?" You see, the Lord helps those who help themselves fall short. Pelagianism falls short. Semi-Pelagianism falls short. Reliance on your free will and your savvy and your making the right choices will ultimately fall short. When it comes to our salvation, we are utterly dependent on God's grace, because just like Paul wrote in that really honest passage, one of my favorite passages of Paul because it's so relatable. And as he wrote, how often do you find yourself doing the exact opposite of what you want to do and unable to do the exact thing that you really know you're supposed to do? And that's where the gospel meets us. When we're in that place when we knew better and we still did the right or did the wrong thing. When we're in that place where we made that same bad choice, that same poor decision again, where we should have learned our lesson the first time, and yet, here we go again. And the cry in our hearts in those moments is the exact same cry that Paul wrote in the passage today. Wretched person that I am, who will rescue me? Who will rescue me? That's the cry of the human heart for those whose free will and self-determinism have fallen short. The cry of those who have come to the end of themselves and see things as they actually are and see their need for the actual gospel, the actual grace of God to meet us in our actual life as it actually is. For those who are finally ready to acknowledge the wretchedness in their fickle, duplicitous, self-centered hearts. Couple song illustrations. I didn't have any last week, so I got two this week to make up for it. One is from a 1965 hit that's often mistakenly attributed to Aretha Franklin. It was actually sung by a lady named Fontella Bass. And you know this song. "Rescue me, take me in your arms. Rescue me, I want your tender charms. 'Cause I'm lonely and I'm blue. I need you and your love too. Come on and rescue me. Come on and rescue me. Come on and rescue me. I need you by my side. Can't you see that I'm lonely? Rescue me. Now, obviously, that song's more about the need for romantic love and companionship, but it certainly connects with our need for the Lord to rescue us, certainly articulates our need for the Lord to love us, for us to know that we are loved, for us to know that the Lord is by our side, for us to remember that we need the Lord to help us because we cannot help ourselves. Maybe you're not into 1960s R&B hits. If you're not, you're missing out on a lot, but I digress. So the second song illustration is a classic rock song by two legends, Bob Dylan and Bono, the lead singer of U2, who together collaborated on a song called Love Rescue Me. Love Rescue Me. It's on their 1988 album, Rattle and Hum, U2's 1988 album. Love Rescue Me, come forth and speak to me. Raise me up and don't let me fall. No man is my enemy, my own hands imprison me. Love, rescue me. And the sun in the sky makes a shadow of you and I, stretching out as the sun sinks in the sea. I'm here without a name in the palace of my shame. Love, rescue me. Love, rescue me. That's it. Rescue me. Love, rescue me. That's the cry of the human heart. And I don't know if you know this, but every single time you've prayed the Lord's Prayer, and for some of you, that's thousands, countless times you've prayed the Lord's Prayer, but every single time you've asked God to rescue you, because the exact same Greek verb translated rescue in today's passage is for deliver, as in deliver us from evil. And that's what the Lord does. Who will rescue us? Who will deliver us? The Lord, Jesus Christ. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me? Paul cries out and then responds with the gospel. The very next line in today's passage. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who will rescue me? Jesus Christ our Lord. Because the good news of the gospel is indeed that the Lord helps those who cannot help themselves. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me? Well, thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who rescues me, who rescues all of us. We cannot rescue ourselves. We need to be rescued by the Lord. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's exactly what the Lord does. The Lord responds to our plea, rescue me, by doing just that. The Lord answers our prayer, love, rescue me, because God is love, and because God proves his love, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Scripture is clear that Jesus Christ is the one who rescues us from the wrath that is coming, that Jesus Christ has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, that it is Jesus Christ who rescued us from a deadly peril and will continue to rescue us. On Jesus Christ, we have set our hope that he will rescue us again. Those are all direct quotes from Scripture. We see this over and over again, that the Lord helps those that cannot help themselves, and wretched man that I am, who will rescue me? Well, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's good news for those who have learned again that in spite of all their attempts to make the right choice and all their dependence on their own free will and their own self-determinism, they still find themselves up the creek in a jam, wretched, in need of God to rescue them. So today, for any of you that feel that you're in that place where your free will has fallen short, where with all due respect, Ralph Waldo Emerson and Ben Franklin and Pelagius and all their advice actually add up to zero when it comes to your salvation. May the Holy Spirit of the living God meet you right there in your heart in that place and remind you anew the truth of the gospel, that the Lord actually helps those who cannot help themselves and rescues us all, including you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Take care, and I'll see you next week.